Could this really be what's in store for America? Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principal Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Great to be back again with you on the air here.
Well, it's good to be with you too, Chuck, and hopefully we'll be on the air for a while. But if an article that we found in the Washington Times online edition that was from last week, which brings up an interesting scenario, is any indication of what the future is going to be like, I'm not so sure what could happen with this program or with anything else. This was an editorial from the Washington Times, Chuck, which is entitled The Civil War of 2016. And the scary part about it is they open it up with this idea. It says, imagine Tea Party extremists seizing control of a South Carolina town and the army being sent in to crush the rebellion. This farcical vision is now part of the discussion in professional military circles. And we saw another connection to this particular idea, this particular thought, on another website that you and I sometimes don't lend very strong credence to because of some of the, shall we say, some of the more outrageous claims that they sometimes make.
Yes.
But this is coming from the Washington Times, which is a fairly respected daily newspaper out of Washington, D.C. And what they're editorializing on is an article that was written by retired Army Colonel Kevin Benson of the Army's University of Foreign Military and Cultural Studies at Fort Leavenworth in Kansas. This article that they wrote appeared in a journal called the Small Wars Journal. And it was called Full Spectrum Operations in the Homeland, a Vision, in quotes, of the Future. The article sets this up, that the Tea Party, what they call extremist militia, disband the city council, place the mayor under house arrest, set up checkpoints on the interstate to look for illegal aliens. Now, Chuck, I'm sorry, but you and I have both read some fiction that was based around this same kind of scenario a few years ago, but it was coming from an evangelical press, and it was based upon people who held Reconstructionist viewpoints, which is the Christian Reconstruction Movement, which believes it in the culture. And the writer of that book, Susan Wise Bauer, who's probably no stranger, because you've heard her name mentioned on our program before with the whole issue with Peter Enns and the BioLogos debacle in relation to Ken Hamming Creation Ministries, but she wrote this book called The Revolt. And Chuck, this is the exact same scenario that was in that fiction work, what we call religious fiction work, but this is now being written by people with a lot more, shall we say, credence behind them. A Civil War expert at the University of Kansas by the name of Jennifer Weber and retired Army Colonel Kevin Benson. Writing this whole idea, now they're going to make a case for military action in the homeland and then apply what's actually a real document, the Army's operating concept of 2016 to 2028 to the situation. Because the Army works out these various things that they're going to do in the future. But then they basically set this up and say that the Army can't disappoint the American people, so they're going to have to just ignore Posse Comitatus, throw it off, and go in there and put down this Tea Party rebellion with force.
Well, Barry, first of all, the scenario is ridiculous. Let's talk about Bauer's book for a minute. Bauer demonstrated that either she didn't really understand the Reconstructionist movement in the slightest, or she was being a polemicist. And considering her involvement with Peter Enns and the whole BioLogos thing, I would say that Bauer is a polemicist. She was attempting to steer people away from a given viewpoint by creating a wild caricature of Christian Reconstructionism, which in fact takes a nonviolent approach to the whole thing and says that the only way to bring about cultural change is by bringing people to Christ and having those people that come to Christ be involved in faith for all of life, and that includes political activity, but political activity is a secondary activity, not a primary. The primary activity, of course, is living for Christ. And the whole point being that culture will revive when people become Christians and decide that they want to have a Christian viewpoint come into the creation of their laws and their society. Okay, it's the exact Same thing, except with the Tea Party.
Yes.
This colonel that Kevin Benson, who wrote this, and this Jennifer Weber, a Civil War expert. A Civil War expert? I'm not sure there is any such thing. I'm reading a book now called Clash of Extremities or something like that. And it basically comes out and says a lot of Civil War experts are wrong simply because they've latched onto a meme that the Civil War was over slavery, when in fact it was over a whole myriad of details, and slavery was merely one of them. Was it an important one? Yes. Okay, so we've got these people that come together, this Colonel Kevin Benson, and he decides the Tea Party is a dangerous group. Name one time that the Tea Party has ever engaged in a violent act as a group.
Oh, but Chuck, there was that time with the, and the other time, and the, well, I guess there aren't any that I can think of.
Now, what group that's currently involved in what's going on politically in Washington, D.C., was at one time involved in violent acts?
Well, gee, could that be the Occupy Wall Street movement? Or are you looking even farther back to the Weather Underground?
Well, I'm looking at people like Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn and some of these people who are the chief advisors to the President of the United States of America. Bill Ayers managed to kill his own girlfriend by having her work on a bomb, which then blew up while they were building it. And if I'm not mistaken, the Weather Underground that Bill Ayers was ahead of blew up an ROTC building and killed somebody. I think they killed a guard at an ROTC building. The fact is, they've got a lot more to worry about out of the left than they do out of the right.
Yeah, I believe that's true, but again, this is something that the United States military is actually being drilled on, because the Army Operating Concept 2016 to 2028, the document that they are talking about, basically is a scenario that they are, as the colonel says, Army officers are professionally obligated to consider the conduct of operations on U.S. soil. In other words, they're saying this is perfectly in line with the Army's new operating concept document that they're going to be working with, is for the fact that the military is to, as they say, to execute the operation without pause and as professionally as if it were acting overseas.
And Barry,
in other words, they're considering that actions against Americans on U.S. soil should be treated like they're overseas.
Yeah, you're right. These overseas operations, they want to treat the United States like it's an overseas operation. Barry, this is exactly what went on in the Civil War, and what we call the Civil War, the war between the states. They treated the South like it was a foreign country, because in reality,
It was
a tacit admission that they had really had seceded from the Union and were a separate nation and went down there and act like conquerors, killed women and children, burned farms, the whole scenario. Remember that the North invaded the South. The South only invaded the North twice, and that was essentially to remove pressure from the invasions that were going on in its west and in its far south. So it was a defensive invasion, essentially, to attempt to draw troops away. The real problem here is, first of all, if the Tea Party were to take over a South Carolina town, why would you have to send the army in? Why couldn't the state police handle it? I mean, are they really saying these guys are going to get artillery pieces and bazookas and all this other stuff that you can't get a hold of? The whole scenario is just absolutely absurd, Barry.
Well, it's extremely absurd, Chuck. But it's absurd to the point that I don't believe that either the authors of this article in, what was the name, the Small Wars Journal, Colonel Kevin Benson, they've actually thought about what could possibly happen. And there was some interesting comments on this website, on the Washington Times, on their website, on this article, because a gentleman who says he's a retired naval officer says, you know what, I think you'll be hard-pressed to find a U.S. military commander who would issue the order to fire on U.S. citizens. He said, I wouldn't be all that surprised in this hypothetical story if a very large portion of the U.S. military joined the Tea Party Revolution. And Chuck, we kind of see that in one sense here in our politics, because of the large number of military voters who vote for candidates like Ron Paul, who is a Tea Party favorite, or who now are being challenged for their right or their family's right to vote in Ohio in order to make the deadline so that their votes actually count. Now, the Obama administration, or the Obama campaign, not the administration, excuse me, the campaign has filed a lawsuit to challenge Ohio's voting laws, which would have a negative impact on military people to cast votes in sufficient time in order to have the votes counted so that they're in by election day. So those are some of the things that we're looking at here. So it wouldn't be any wonder to me, and I believe this retired naval officer might have hit it on the head, that not only would the commanders be reluctant, very reluctant, to order firing on American citizens on American soil, but that many in the military themselves would say, we're not going to follow that order. As a matter of fact, we're going to go to the other side.
Okay, but here's the problem, Barry. This is going to trickle down as training not to the officers, but to the enlisted men.
Well, that's true.
That's an entirely different story, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Yeah, and again, we have situations trained in these scenarios, like the lifeboat scenario and others, on making decisions about who lives and who dies. And therefore, with also the indoctrination in some branches of the military about the fact that the people are, so many of these civilians could be potential domestic terrorists and other things. And I can see where that kind of groupthink could end up creating issues.
Well, it could create major issues. Now, this kind of thing has been going on for a long time. We know local police are now being trained. And this kind of training, if you think about it, you only focus on the right. You never focus on the left.
Right,
the fact is that sets up a meme whereby you automatically get paranoid. And I've seen it in the commentary sections of certain blogs. Every time one of these shooters comes out, everybody starts thinking in terms of, oh, it was a Tea Party guy. It was a Tea Party guy. It was a Tea Party guy. The whole Aurora shooting, the first thing that came out, even before Brian Ross was bloviating, this guy's a Tea Party guy. Well, that's an absurd scenario.
Absolutely.
And think about this guy. What really happened in this shooting in the Sikh temple? That thing came and went. Where is all the details?
Well, he was a national
socialist. He was a white supremacist.
Yeah, he was
not a Tea Party guy because the Tea Party is transracial. Yeah, granted, there aren't that many blacks and Hispanics, but they're in there because I've seen them. I've been to the rallies. They're out there, folks, and they're welcome. And guys like this white supremacist aren't. Those guys get, when they start doing that kind of stuff, they get picked up by the collar and the belt loops and thrown out the door.
Right. Now, I wonder what would have happened, Charles, had retired Army Colonel Kevin Benson used Occupy Wall Street movement as the scenario. So let's change it. Say, imagine Occupy Wall Street extremists seizing control of a South Carolina town and the army being sent in to crush the rebellion. Now, honestly, that would kind of lend a little bit more credence since Occupy Wall Street has already been trying to do such things to shut down commerce and to do things in many different cities, in California attacking the port of San Diego to try to shut it down.
Right.
And other things that they've actually been on record as actually doing, but yet you have zero response or zero thought about what this scenario might be like.
Well, there was a plan that got foiled to shut down the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yes.
And shut down other bridges to... All you have to do is shut down the bridges in and out of San Francisco and Occupy Wall Street suddenly becomes Occupy San Francisco, and they're not kidding. They have occupied it.
Yes, they have. So I think this is interesting. You're right, because it's only going on this one side of the scenario of the right when what we have is not just a potential hypothetical scenario, but actual physical engagement by radicals on the left.
Yeah,
but yet these thinkers in the military want to set this scenario up only that the bad guys are in the Tea Party movement.
Right. It's a misdirect.
Oh, absolutely misdirect.
This is a misdirect. Well, with that, we're out of time.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you just remember, examine carefully everything you read, and when you get into one of these like this, look at it from the other side. Take it, and instead of just running with the scenario they give you in the article, paint it in exactly the opposite terms. Imagine Occupy Wall Street instead of imagine the Tea Party, and see where it leads you to.
And that's a basic tenet of critical thinking. Do word replacement and see what happens. And with that, we'll say join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.